You don't have to be a passive observer destined to watch your child self-destruct. Because while you can't change your child or make them want to change, you can help them find their own reasons for changing. To that end, we'll cover an effective practice called motivational interviewing, or MI. If you have an anxious, unmotivated, or resistant child, trying to force them to face their fears, work harder, or to comply with you is destined to be a waste of time, but you can adjust your response to their behaviors in ways that result in change. As you'll see, sometimes the greatest power comes from simply looking at your own feet, not directing theirs. Making it about what they want. The language of motivational interviewing. William Miller is a psychologist who worked with problem drinkers in the 1980s and noticed that when he tried to help by pointing out all the logical benefits of drinking less, it didn't help at all. His clients were deeply entrenched in denial. Miller knew a lot about addiction, but he was also interested in the science of change. And so instead of trying to change his clients' minds, he helped them explore their own experience of alcohol use and how it affected their lives. He expressed empathy and affirmation and guided them in examining possible reasons for change. It turned out that this strategy opened up far more capacity for changes in behavior, as his clients often reduced their drinking without any actual treatment. William and his colleague, Stephen Rolnick, went on to develop motivational interviewing, MI, a guiding style of conversation that puts intrinsic motivation front and center. A great insight of MI is that most people are ambivalent about changing, even when their problems are tearing their lives apart. For example, an overweight adult is usually well aware they'd benefit from losing weight, but is also aware that doing so would take a lot of restraint, deprivation, and self-discipline, which could be painful. They also know that they could try and fail, and then they'll feel like they're in an even deeper hole than they were before. Similarly, underachieving students usually know that doing better in school would be a good thing, and most would like to be better students. At the same time, they're aware that even if they try as hard as they can, they might still not do well, which can be pretty disheartening. They also know that doing better in school could give their parents and teachers the satisfaction of saying, "I told you so," or could lead to the expectation that they will always commit Herculean effort to their work. I once tutored a teenager named Henry who never wanted to push himself in anything. I didn't fully understand until I met Henry's dad, who was prone to saying things like, "You always do this, you always wuss out." Although Henry's father hoped that comments like these would shame Henry into working harder, Henry clearly had the impression that no matter what he did or how he performed, it would not be good enough for his dad. Or consider a kid who refuses to go to school at all. On one end of the scale, they want their life to work and know they're missing out on learning that may be important to them. On the other end of the scale, they may have anxiety, fear of not being able to accomplish their goals, and fear of not being able to handle things if they do. When the parent's writing reflex gets activated, they focus on the end of the scale that pushes them to make their kid's life work. School is important. Their kid will then predictably voice the other side of their ambivalence and defend the status quo. "It's no big deal. School is stupid anyway." They will cling to the other end in order to maintain balance. Miller and Rolnick found the same thing with their clients. If they argued one side of a client's ambivalence about drinking, the client would argue the other side. The plain truth is that it's exhausting to feel ambivalent, to have mixed feelings about anything important to you. It's much easier to think you have one outcome definitively, or that you definitely don't, than to wrestle with feeling both ways. But we all, including our kids, have to do just that. When someone, say a parent, tries to rush that process, all it does is get in the way, pushes to extremes, and slow down the clarity that will come in its own time.